This is All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Peter Biello. We've been hearing from New Hampshire military veterans all this month on All Things Considered, and today we'll hear from Ginger Munson of Bedford. She's a veteran of the Army, and her husband George has served with the New Hampshire Army National Guard. They met while they were serving in Korea. Being both a veteran and married to someone in the military has given Ginger Munson a unique perspective on what it's like to be part of a military family. I stopped by her home in Bedford to learn more about her point of view. Thank you very much for agreeing to speak with me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
If you could, Ginger, paint a picture for us. Give us an image of what it is like to be someone in your position, someone who is married to someone in the military.
One that I thought about more recently, what I called it, the sea captain's wife. It's kind of like being the sea captain's wife. You know, your image of that is that the wife's constantly scanning the horizon. And, you know, today's version of that is often through media and through our communications. And so, you know, there's email now. And when my husband deploys, he's in a situation, living situation, he's fortunate enough to, you know, be able to have email. And it starts quite innocently, you know, you talk maybe, or you communicate, you know, maybe once a week or maybe every 2 or 3 days. And then all of a sudden, 2 or 3 days have gone by and you haven't seen that email. You don't see his name in the title or a quick hi or hello. And often your imagination runs away with you. And certainly you're here, you're in the here and now. You have to go about your day to day. So half of your brain is doing the day-to-day, going to work, doing things with kids, doing, you know, things with your neighbors. The other half is distracted. You know, you wait till the end of the day, you go check your emails, something there. You know, so there's this constant vigilance, if you will, or this constant scanning of the horizon. You know, you live half-time in real time here and half-time checking the horizon. And you can get yourself pretty worked up about it. I've done that before, and then, you know, kind of had to talk myself out of it. Oh, it's fine. He's a pilot. Sometimes he goes 2 or 3 days. Oh, I'm sure internet's down. You know, and then eventually you get the email that says, hey, you know, sorry, you know, had to go up north. It's been busy. I'm exhausted. You know, and I'm relieved, absolutely. And then I, you know, finally exhale and I think, wow, I'm exhausted too. You know, I've been checking that horizon. I've been like holding stress I didn't know. I've been constantly on vigil.
And another image that you have made reference to in the past is what you refer to as the merry-go-round. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the merry-go-round, some of us have had to go through more than one deployment. And there's definitely a complete circle cycle that happens in this. You have the time that you find out that your person's going away, and it's usually about a year ahead, and usually it's pretty, you know, initially, you know, there's whatever, shock, interest, dismay, who knows what, but you settle into it. And then as time gets closer to the deployment, definitely certain things start to get squirrely around the house. You know, everybody gets emotional in different ways, you know. Usually the person leaving has a lot they have to do and take care of and a lot they feel responsible for. And I want to spend more time, you know, so that's the before. Then you have your away time. And again, that's a transition and they finally leave and get on the plane and go and you settle into whatever your new pattern is. And then you have the welcome home, which in many respects is great. But then not long after the welcome home, you realize, oh, boy, we both do things differently now. And you've been away for a year, and you're used to living on your own or being responsible for XYZ, and I'm used to being here. And, you know, so it's another transition, but it's kind of this whole circle. And then, as been my experience, you know, you're maybe home a year and a half, and then you get another notice, and you're going again. So now you're back on the merry-go-round again. And, you know, you don't get much time off. You don't get much time off to just be and live life in a kind of more normal fashion, if there is a normal.
I think a lot of people would, if they're not in a military family situation, may just imagine it's a simple series of comings and goings, but here you are describing this, the emotions that go along with it. And I imagine if you also have children, which you do, that you have to be the rock, right? Where your kids maybe feel emotions that, and I don't know if this is true for your kids, but maybe they feel things they're not sure how to cope with, and you, as the responsible adult, have to help them through it and experience your own emotions.
That is very true. You know, this last deployment, it was interesting. My second oldest child was a senior in high school, And, you know, we started off the year kind of strong. We knew he'd be gone sort of her whole senior year. But maybe about a month in, there'd just be a few mornings that I'd be home getting ready to go to work, and all of a sudden she would come back in the driveway from having gone to school, or so I thought. And she would just come in the door, and I'd look at her like, oh, honey, what'd you forget? You know, and then I'd see that look in her eyes, and then I'd see the tears, and she would just look at me and just say, I can't do it, you know. And that happened more than once. It was a little unsettling the first time. I didn't really know what to do. Like you said, I didn't know what to do. And then I just learned to, you know, draw her in, give her a big hug and say, I know, you know, it stinks. I'm sorry. You know, we'd hug a little bit. We'd cry a little bit. We'd eventually laugh a little bit and we'd get through. But yes, there is often that component of having to be there for others.
I'm a civilian, and listening to your story right now, it feels like when civilians like me say, thank you for your service, hearing that story, it's like that barely covers it.
Yes. You know, the thank you for your service is an interesting campaign, shall we say. A lot of people say, oh, yes, you really need to say thank you for your service. And number one, yes, I think it barely covers it. Number two, it's hard to receive thanks when on the one hand, it is something you just do. I mean, my husband and I made this choice. We decided this is his profession. I decided when I went in the military. So to thank somebody for their job, it's sort of, it's awkward on our part. It can be awkward on our part. Also, and here's the really key point, I think it can very easily minimize the situation or cover it over, because in you saying, oh, thank you for your service, you're not really engaging in what really is the sacrifice. What does really that service mean? Yes, you're appreciative. I think it's much more important or impactful to say, tell me how it was for you. Engage a little bit more. What did you do there? Use it to start a conversation. I've heard people say that. Start the conversation. Don't say, oh, thank you for your service, because that's not a conversation starter. You know, what's our response? You're welcome. That feels weird, but also it ends the conversation.
I think people would be surprised to hear that invitation. I think they'd be happy to hear it. But one of the things that I think I've heard civilians be cautioned about is don't ask too many questions. You don't want to bring up bad memories of service or painful memories. So maybe that lack of understanding is leading to, I guess, an abundance of caution on the part of civilians. I don't know if that seems right to you.
You make a good point, because yes, there are certain specific questions you don't, you know, that aren't good to ask. But I think there's open-ended questions and curious questions. You know, tell me about your time in service if you feel comfortable, or, you know, what did you do there? You know, I think there are some. I guess it'll take a little thought on the part of the asker. But I think there are some good and safe and encouraging questions that you can ask that would be good.
Well, Ginger, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's Ginger Munson sharing her perspective on military family life in the Granite State. We've been telling stories of veterans in New Hampshire all this month on NHPR, and you can find this conversation and all of our stories about veterans at nhpr.org.